As always, I ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the preaching part of the service this morning. I'm always kind of nervous and always trying to be sure that I'm going to preach what God's laid upon my heart, stay out of my opinions, and stay out of my own mind if I can. I'll do my best to do that again this morning, but I do need some prayer this morning, as always, that God will just work in my heart and in my mind and keep my mouth guarded, because we all like to run that mouth every now and again, don't we? So let's pray that God will keep my mouth guarded as I preach the message that I feel like he's laid upon my heart this morning. Been thinking on this topic or on this idea for several days now, and it just seemed like it took a little while for God to put it together and allow me the thought process to maybe preach this message this morning. But if you will be much in prayer for me, I would appreciate it. Let's go into the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us. And God, we do ask you as we come to this part of the service, God, we thank you for the singing that we've had this morning. We thank you for the congregational hymns. God, I believe that it is important that we lift our voice to you and that we praise you and honor you and worship you. And God, we thank you for the special singing that we had this morning. I pray that you'll just help us in everything that we do to always lift you up, God. But as we come to the preaching of the word this morning, God, I know that I'm not worthy. God, I pray, dear Father, the Lord, that you'll get me and my weaknesses out of the way. I know that I stumble and I stutter. I can't even pray without stuttering, God, and that's okay because I know it's not my words, but it's the groanings of the Holy Spirit that gets the message across. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into the message this morning, that you'll protect my mind, God, that you'll protect my mouth and help me to always be exactly where you would have me to be. And God, let your word go out and let your Holy Spirit take your word. And you told us that your word would not return void. And God, we're just going to count on that. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we get into the message this morning, I just want you to know that I have decided to change. We're going into a brand new year. Some of y'all are looking at me like, oh no, what's coming now? Well, I got a brand new shirt on. Maybe had to buy a size larger, and just in case you're wondering, as the sound booth team did this morning. They asked me if I had to buy extra large. That's not funny, y'all. I got a new shirt on, got a new tie on. We're walking into a brand new year, and we're just looking for some new things to happen in this brand new year. I'm excited. I've already told you I'm excited about what's coming up in the brand new year, and I think that February, if I'm not mistaken, February will be 5 years that I've officially been here. Is that right? Anybody know that? Okay, 5 years. February 14th, actually, I think, will be 5 years that I've been pastor here, and man, how unworthy I am to be your pastor and how thankful I am to be your pastor. I was talking with someone just yesterday, and I said, you know, right now during COVID, during this mess that we're going through, I said it sort of seems like we're treading water just a little bit. We're coming to church and we're doing our best to preach and to sing and do the things that we want to do. I said, but it kind of feels like we're treading water right now. And I said, I hope it's not just me. I hope that I'm not just getting in a kind of a cold state. I don't want to be there. I want to be on fire for God, but I don't want to tread water either. I want to go into 2021 on fire for the glory of God, and I want to see amazing things happen at Fellowship Baptist Church. So I'm looking forward to what God's got in store for us, and in order to do that, I've decided that I've got to change. The things that I've been doing for the past 5 years may not work any longer, so I'm going to have to change some things that I'm doing and see if we can't see what God can do if we change. I'm being a little bit sarcastic. Y'all stay with me just for a few minutes this morning. So what I want us to look at this morning is I look around and I look at all the different things that's going on around us. Every year at New Year's, people make resolutions and they begin to think about how in 2021 that they begin to make new starts. They begin to do different things to allow them to prosper in the new year. This week I have seen so many things on Facebook and so many memes and so, I don't even know what that word means, but I think that's the word I'm supposed to use, memes. And I've seen so many different things about prospering. And I look and I know that people want to prosper, so I've decided that I'm going to give a message of prosperity this morning. Now, you guys know that I have been kind of the guy that would stand and talk about people who preach a prosperity gospel. Well, let me stop right there for just a moment. And let me let you know really quick that there is no such thing as a prosperity gospel. There is only one gospel, and that is that I was a sinner and that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a virgin-born baby there in a manger, that he lived this life perfect for 33 and a half years, that he died on the cross for my sins, that they buried him in a tomb. On the third day he arose, and one day he's coming back for us. That's the only gospel that there is. There is no such thing as a prosperity gospel this morning. But I do want to preach a prosperity message, and maybe I'm going to change the way that I do things a little bit and help out maybe for things to change a little bit around here. And I want to start with today preaching a message of prosperity. And you say, well, preacher, why would you do that? Well, as I observe other prosperity preachers, I see and I notice the success that they have. I notice and I hear people talking about how wonderful they are. Now, I'm not sure that I can grow my hair out and get it to curl up and gel and everything just like I need it to, but we may try that later in the year also. I see the way their congregation grows, and I hear about how people talk about them. Just this past week, somebody that I love dearly in my family came to me and said, do you listen to so-and-so? And I said, I don't know who is so-and-so. And I began to remember who they were. They just mentioned their last name. And as I put it together, and he's a very, very famous preacher all over YouTube and Facebook and everything else. They said, oh, he is so good. I said, yeah, he's so good. And he tells us all about prospering and doing all those things. But how many times do you hear him give the gospel? And we began to talk about that. But I began to notice and began to think about, you know what? That's what people want. They want that prosperity in their life. They want to be prosperous in the new year. They want to have those things going on in their life. And as I began to think about what these preachers are preaching and how they go about in their messages, they are always telling people how they are going to prosper. I noticed on Facebook this week that many of you had hog jowl and greens and cornbread and black-eyed peas. So you desire to prosper, and I hope you're doing that for tradition's sake, because we know that God's in control. Amen, church? Amen. There's nothing wrong with just having a little bit of fun with tradition, and man, I don't know of any better reason to fry up some good old fatback or hog jowl and all that kind of stuff. And my wife is crinkling her nose back there. I can see it without even looking at her. But I don't see it. For whatever reason you can find to eat that kind of food, that's good for me. But I've seen that people, they have a desire to prosper. So I was thinking, you know what, well, maybe I need to change my thought process, and I need to change the way that I preach, and I need to start thinking about being prosperous. So today I want to give it a try, and I want to preach you a prosperity message, and let's see how it goes. So let's start with one that I see all the time. Isaiah chapter number 54 and verse number 17. The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now that's the word of God. As we look in Isaiah chapter number 54 and verse number 17, I am sure that God has got my back, that God will fight my battles. And he says here that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And I'm glad that God has got me protected. And I know that I live in a place that God holds me and that God defends me from my enemies, that God protects me from my enemies. I'm so thankful that God defends me and protects me from my enemies, just like he promised here in Isaiah chapter number 54. And verse number 17. And then also, I was looking for prosper in the Bible, and as I began to just search that word out in the Bible, in Psalms chapter 122 and verse number 6, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. So if I want to prosper in my life, maybe I need to start praying for Jerusalem more and praying for God's chosen people. And again, as I began just to search out the word prosper in my Bible and begin to look at a prosperity message, and that's what I want to preach this morning. It's just a message of prosperity to you and how you can be prosperous and how you can live a life that is prosperous. And as I began to look at that this morning, I just looked at the word prosper and began to find these scriptures. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. If I pray for Jerusalem, I'll prosper. And then I hit Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1, let's read the first 3 verses of Psalms chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. As I began to look for a prosperity message, and I wasn't really doing that, church. I wasn't really going through the Bible and just seeing what all I could find that would be a prosperity message. But as I began to think about the new year in 2021 and the fact that we want to prosper and we want to have a good year, we're sick of the challenges that we faced in 2020, ain't we? 2020 has been a tough year. It's been a challenging year. It's been uncharted waters that we didn't know how to do this or how to do that or what we should do or what we shouldn't do. But I'm so thankful to report to you that no matter that it was challenging, and even though that there was things that come our way that we didn't know what to do with, and even though there was things that we still have questions about in our hearts and in our lives, I want to say to you that I stand here this morning a blessed man. God has been good to me, and even through all of those challenges, He showed Himself so many times in my life that I am a blessed man, and more than that, I am still saved by the grace of God this morning. But as we look at Psalms chapter number 1 and we want to see how to live that prosperous life, I would love to stand here and tell you, oh, you get saved and everything is prosperous, but let's look at what Psalms chapter number 1 and verse 1 through 3 tells us one more time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to be prosperous, Psalms chapter number 1 verses 1 through 3 is giving you a recipe. It is giving you instructions. It is giving you a way that you can live your life in order that you may be prosperous. Now, you're going to have to define prosperous in your life just like I'm going to have to in my life. If your idea is great financial gain, Psalms chapter number 1 verse number 1 through 3 may not help you in that. If your idea is to have a great big name and everybody know who you are and to be invited to all the social events, Psalms chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 may not help you with that. If your idea is to go out here and for everything just to be wonderful in your life, Psalms chapter number 1 verses 1 through 3 may not be exactly what you're looking for to be prosperous. But if you're looking for a way to be in God's will, to live your life in a way that God's pleased with, to draw closer to God, to go out and to lead others to Jesus Christ, and for your life to give God glory, and that's what true prosperity should be for the believer, then Psalm chapter number 1, verse number 1 through verse 1 through 3 is absolutely how we need to live our lives. Psalm chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. First of all, it says to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. This year, church, as we go forward and we want to think about being successful, we want to think about being prosperous in our lives, we need to be very careful from who, from where, and from what we get our advice from. We need to be very careful of where we get that from. See, that ungodly can mean evil. It can mean that there's absolutely, and we know that there is absolute evil in this world. We know that there are people who are absolute evil, that they are against God. But as we look at that word ungodly, it can just also mean the absence of God in someone's life or in someone's heart or in their mind. You know, there are good moral people that wouldn't mean any harm to anybody, that have good morals about them, that have good standards about them, but without the God leading in their life, you have no business taking advice from them. You should be seeking for God's leadership in your life, and I should be seeking for God's leadership in my life. And we should be looking for God to move in a way. The Bible tells us if we want to prosper, that we don't take counsel from the ungodly. We need to know where we're getting our advice from. Most of us need to take this right here and give it a chunk somewhere or another. When you're looking for advice, unless you're pulling up your Bible app, unless you're pulling up a man of God that has been tried and tested and you know he's a man of God, then you can follow maybe his advice. But don't be seeking counsel from the ungodly. We need to take Twitter and we need to throw it to the side. We need to take Facebook and throw it to the side. Hey, I know there's some good uses for it. I'm going to throw mine down right now. I know there's some good uses for it out there. I know there's, hey, we're using Facebook this morning to get the gospel out, to get a message out. And I'm so thankful for that platform that we've been able to use during this pandemic that we're in the middle of. But I want you to know something. If you're getting direction of your life, if you're getting advice for your life, if you're trying to figure out how to be prosperous, that thing don't know the right definition of prosperous. You're going to have to establish in your heart that you want to be prosperous for the glory of God and then follow God's leadership. Shut Facebook up and open up this book and see what God has to say for your life. I know it's tough. Everywhere I go, there are so many soapboxes. I don't know. I'm just going to start kicking over soapboxes everywhere I go. People jump up on their soapbox, and they want to give me this, and they want to give me that, and they want to talk about this. And man, I just want to focus on God. Because you know what? When I begin to focus on God, you know what I find? I find peace. I find comfort. I find joy. I find the things that I'm really looking for. Now, I'm not saying that some of these other things are not important. I'm not saying that some of these other things that we don't need to pay attention to. But that's not where I need to be looking if I want to be prosperous. I need to be looking to the Word of God. So many times, we are seeking answers from other places. We'll go and we'll seek advice from someone that we know will tell us what we want to hear. Oh, it's okay. I completely understand. I know what you're going through. But let me just go ahead and make this statement while I'm here. If the advice that that person is giving you is contrary to the Word of God, it is terrible advice. If I go to somebody and I say, look, I just want to know if this is wrong for me to do. I just want to know if, and that person goes, well, you're under a lot of stress and God understands and God knows, but the question I'm asking about has already been answered in God's Word and I know that it's wrong for me as a Christian to do. Then that person's giving me some terrible advice and I just sought counsel from the ungodly. I just sought counsel for somebody that didn't seek counsel from God first. We need to be careful of where we're getting our counsel from. We need to be careful. We need to pray for our kids as they're in the schools and as they're in the colleges and as they're out in this world. They're getting so much counsel. Listen, I'm not saying that these teachers are evil. I'm not saying that the system is evil. But what I'm saying is some of the counsel that they're getting is not God-sought counsel, and it is bad counsel for them. And parents, we need to be really careful that when they come home that they are getting godly counsel from us as parents. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want you to see the regression here. First of all, this blessed man is walking. First of all, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to this. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. So we went from walking to standing. If you want to have prosperous life and be prosperous in this new year, don't stand in the way of sinners. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? Does that mean like I don't get in their way and stop them from sinning? No, that's not what the Bible's saying. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Listen, I know we talk about this a whole lot, and especially with my teenagers, but you know, I'm seeing it being more and more needful for us as mature Christians. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who's your friends. Be careful what influence that you're getting in your life. Well, preacher, I gotta hang out with lost people or there's no way that I can point them to Jesus Christ. You know what? There is a difference in being friends with lost people. There is a difference in witnessing to lost people. And there is a difference in hanging out with lost people. I can't hang out with lost people. Because you know why? They got a different idea of what prospering is than what God's given me for my life. And you know what? So many times, I know y'all have heard this analogy so many times, but you can take a whole basket full of good apples and put one bad apple in there, and what happens? They all go bad. Well, I want you to try this. Go home and get you a basket full of bad apples, and I want you to put a good apple in there. And let me know how long it takes for those bad apples to turn good. Now, I'm not saying your friends are bad apples. I'm not saying that they're bad people. They may just be ungodly without God. They may be great moral people, great standards, but their definition of prospering may not be the same as yours. And if I want to prosper as I go into this new year, I've got to be careful who I turn in to be my friend. I've got to be careful of who I hang out with, because I will turn out to be however they are. Well, preacher, I just don't know about that. Well, let me just put it to you like this. Married men, you have no business hanging out all the time with a bunch of unmarried men, because you will find your mind going places it hadn't been in a long time. Some of you women should be standing up and saying, amen, glory, hallelujah, right here. Come on, be with me this morning. Married men, you have no business hanging out with a bunch of unmarried men. Because those unmarried men, when that attractive lady walks down the street and the conversation turns to that attractive lady, and then you find yourself in the middle of that conversation, or your head turning along with it, and you know, David, when he seen Bathsheba there on the rooftop, it wasn't a sin that he saw her, but that second look and that plan that went into action behind that, you know what, if you're not careful and you're hanging out with the wrong kind of people, and again, they may not be evil people, they may just be ungodly, and as they look and they see that and the conversation goes away, I want you to know something, that you may have a loving wife and children at home that don't deserve for your mind to go through that process and don't deserve for you to have to put up with that, because you have chose to sit in the wrong place. That's good preaching. I don't care if y'all like it or not. That's good preaching. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Well, preacher, why are you picking on us men? Well, let's go there. Women, you don't have no business hanging out with a bunch of unmarried gals. That same goes, because the next thing you know, they're talking about what a good time they had over on Friday night. They're talking about what a good time they had over here at somebody's house. And you go, well, you know what? There ain't no harm in me going over there. I can go over there with them girls that I hang out with, them girls that I work with, and all those girls are single. And they're having conversations that you have no business being a part of. Because you know what we do? We open our mind for the devil to get in there and go to playing and go to putting thoughts. Well, you know what? You've been married to that sorry rascal you're with for so long, and he don't even appreciate you anymore. You have to clean up behind him all the time. Well, go home and tell him about it instead of being in a place that you shouldn't be, and get together and start working on your marriage the way that God instructs us. Sorry, honey, I'm putting this out there this morning. Get together of how God has instructed our marriage to be, and get that thing stronger and closer, and don't find yourself in a bad place because you're sitting somewhere that you shouldn't be. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Let's go one step further. Teens, there's some people at school that you got absolutely no business hanging out with all the time. They're going to put you in a path that you don't need to be on. Some of y'all just went and had revival in Tennessee. Y'all went down there and, woo, glory, hallelujah. I seen videos of it. Y'all was having big time. And then you come back and you go to partnering up and you have friends that don't have the same idea of what being prosperous is or living a life for God is, and you'll find yourself mixed up in stuff that you never want to be mixed up in. Preacher, how do you know? Been there. Anybody else been there? Come on, let's just help them out this morning. Anybody else been there? A lot of you made decisions, bad decisions, because you were with the wrong people at the wrong time. And well, some of you would say, well, my kid wouldn't do that. My kid is strong. I've raised them in church. And they can go over there. And even though all of that's going on, they'll choose not to do that. Well, parent, shame on you if you would put yourself in that kid, your kid in that situation on purpose. Shame on you. My kids may end up in that situation. They may end up out with some friends that make bad choices, and they have to make a decision of what choice they're going to make. They may end up, hey, my kids are not perfect. I know they're not perfect because their mom and daddy ain't perfect, and they inherited it from us. And we know that we're all sinners. We know that. But if I would put my kids in a place on purpose that they would have to make that decision, well, they can just go over to that party. They don't have to drink. Why would you put them in that predicament? Why would you allow them to be in that predicament? When you're going to bring them to church on Sunday and tell them about how good God is and how that God loved them so much that he gave his only begotten son. But you go out there and you make a choice. Hey, that choice better be made before they ever got there. And us as parents, we need to do our best to protect them from those decisions. I know they're going to look at you and go, well, you can't choose who my friends are. Because some of you are doing me the same way this morning. Some of you adults that I've just told you are God has told us all that we don't have no business hanging out with certain people, and it goes further than the spectrum that I've mentioned this morning. But some of y'all are looking at me and going, preacher, you have no business telling me who I can hang out with and who I can't. Just like my 14-year-old daughter would do. But you see, Addie don't know what's best for her. Addie ain't been hanging out with her drunk friends. She ain't been doing that yet. Okay? As far as I know, she ain't got no drunk friends. I hope not. But I just use her for an example. But you know what? Addie don't know what's best for her right now. She thinks she does. And Silas has done way past that. He knows. He knows everything. But Addie don't know what's best for her. You know what? It's my responsibility to make decisions for her. And grown men and women, you may think that you know what's best for you. You may think that you know what the best choice is for your life, but you better seek God and allow him to make your decisions for you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How am I doing with this prosperity preaching? Not too good, am I? Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit with the scornful. People, notice the regression again. We went from walking to standing to sitting. Don't sit with the people who put themselves on a pedestal and look down on others. People who think they are above repentance and salvation. Man, we need to pray. We need to witness. We need to be there for them. We need to love them and have compassion. None of this is about putting people over there and saying, I can't, I'm turning my back on you. But it's about going, look, your definition of prosperity is not the same as my definition and God's definition of prosperity in my life. So I'm going to love you. I'm going to be friends with you. We can hang out sometimes, but I got to be careful because I don't want to be back to where God brought me from. I don't want to be back out doing the things that God brought me out of. I don't want my mind to start the devil playing in my mind to where I make choices that affect me and my family. See, I put myself in a bad position. If I put myself in a bad position and I start hanging out with all them single guys that I know that don't have the same, first of all, I'm going to come in here and there's going to be a frying pan mark on my head, and I'm going to have to explain that. And I'm going to tell you, it's my wife, my frying pan, and none of your business. So just stay away from me. But if I start making those kinds of choices, when I allow that to come into my mind and when I allow that thought process to begin to happen in my life, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to destroy that whole pew sitting right there. Not to mention all of these other pews in here that are looking at me and expecting me to behave a certain way and to make certain choices. Well, you know what? You're no different than me. There are people in this world who are looking at you and expecting you to behave a certain way and make certain choices. And when you let them down and when you make choices that you shouldn't, you've let a whole... It's not no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. But if you want to see that pew right there, look, they all look kind of happy right now, can't you tell? Y'all can smile, look happy. But if you want to see that pew destroyed, you want to see kids that look at me and say, Daddy, why did you do that to Mama? You want to look at that pew and see a girlfriend that looks and says, Silas, I thought your dad was a preacher. I thought your dad loved the Lord and loved your mom. Why would he do something like that? You can see a whole pew right there destroyed because I was in a place that I shouldn't have been. I shouldn't be there. And the thing of it is we don't make choices that don't affect other people. Prosperity. You say, well, preacher, I can't see that you're being that prosperous. Well, I can't say that I'm following all of these just exactly like God told me to follow them. But if I want to be more prosperous, right here it is, telling us how to do it. Hey, the hog jowl was good. The greens was good. But that's not going to affect anything in 2021. Not one doggone thing is that going to affect. But I'm going to tell you what can affect your life and the vision of prosperity that you have in your life is blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his, listen to this. See, it's not that we just don't do those things. It's important that we don't do those things, but let's look real quick at what God says that we should do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you spend more time thinking about elections and viruses and work and finances, or do you spend more time meditating on the Word of God? I can stop and pray right there, couldn't I? I know in my life, I don't meditate on this the way that I should. I look at this and I listen to all of this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, what do you think is happening to that tree that's planted by the rivers of water? It's prospering. It's growing. It's flourishing. And again, it may not be with great financial gain, but there is no gain that I would count greater. There is no gain that could be any better for me in my life to know that my kids and my family, that we went through this life, and that some little piece of us, some little part of us, we were able to give God glory with our lives. There is no more prosperous living to me than to know that one day, if something happens to one of my children before I die, or when I die, that they can walk past me and say, Daddy, I'll see you over on the other side. Without a doubt that they can say that. I know that they can't know my heart, but I do know that as you walk by people, you can get a peace about it. And I want my kids to have that peace. Not saying, well, you know, at one time, and I'm not talking about losing you salvation. I'm talking about right here, about the question that I could put in my kids' mind. If I make bad choices and turn my life inside out from what it is right now, and I die in that circumstance, my kids would have to walk by me and say, well, you know, I remember when Daddy used to do this, and when Daddy used to do that. I don't know why he made... Daddy said that he was saved, but he was making some awful bad decisions in his life, and there might be a question there, mightn't there? There's been a lot of people who had a salvation here and not have it here. I'm not preaching about losing your salvation, not whatsoever. What I'm preaching about is I want to live my life in a way, and I want my prosperity to be in a way that when my kids have to walk past me one day, when my wife has to walk past me one day, that they can look and say, you know what, we know what he said with his mouth, and we know what he lived with his life, and I know without a doubt that I'll see him again. That's prosperous to me. Hey, would I like to leave him $1 million? Absolutely. But let me go ahead and say this. If that $1 million would allow them to turn their life away from Christ, I hope they never have it. I hope they never see it. Same for me. Let's continue reading. Let's get done. Y'all are not smiling like Joel Osteen's crowd smiles. Come on now. I mean, I'm giving you a prosperity message. Let me try the big smile on my face. Can't do it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I want to bring forth fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Church, if you want to know how to prosper, right here it is in Psalms chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. This is an absolute prosperity message. I know it's not the one that you were looking for when I began talking this morning. I know it's not what we think of as a prosperity message. But let me give you two more verses of Scripture. Randall, I hope you have something for invitation here in just a moment. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 7. Let's look at being prosperous. This is when Moses has died. Joshua is fixing to be the new leader for the children of Israel. And look what the Lord tells him. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Listen to this. Christian people, this is for us right here. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know what you need to do in 2021 if you want to prosper? Find the will of God for your life, and don't go right, and don't go left. Stay right in the middle of God's will. The last verse that I'll leave you with today. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. Very important scripture for us this morning. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There's a message in this one verse all by itself. Look, he that covereth his sins. You know what we do when we fail? See, maybe this message, like it did with me, it struck chords with me when God gave me this message. There was part of this message that I didn't like, and I said, God, I don't like it. And some of you are looking at me this morning going, preacher, I don't like it. You shouldn't have said that. Well, I don't know. Y'all listened to me for 5 years. We'll keep going until God says don't. He that covereth his sins. Now that they're out there, and now that we find our place maybe in a way that we see what's hindering us from being prosperous. Blessed is the man that walketh, that don't sit, don't stand. If we find fault in our life, the worst thing that we can do is say, well, I know that I'm wrong, but you know what? It's going to be okay. I'm just going to cover this sin. Nobody has to know anything about it. And it'll be okay. Well, look what the Bible says about that. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, not to me, I don't want to know your sin. You might make me blush. I might make you blush if I tell you my sin. You might go, Lord, I can't believe my preacher ever said that, thought that, did that. But the Bible says, but whoso confesseth, and that's to God, God, I'm a sinner. God, I know I fail. God, I know I come short. God, I know I made bad decisions. But it's not just admitting to God and saying, I know that I did, but look what it says. And forsaketh them. Turn away from that thing. God, I know that that's sin, and I know that it's in my life, and this is going to keep me from prospering. God, I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to go away. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, for just a few minutes, I want you to take just a moment and look at your life. Preacher, I want to prosper. Amen. We sure do. But do we want to prosper enough that we follow the instructions given to us in God's Word? Do we want to prosper in the way that God wants us to prosper? Or would we rather somebody just tell us, well, you're saved, everything's going to be okay, just live your life? I'm afraid sometimes we are. I'm afraid sometimes that's the boat that we're in. But God, I want to seek you more. God, I want to not turn to the left, to the right. God, I know your promises in your word, and they're not going to change. But God, there's some things in my life that I do need to change. I'll just go ahead and tell you, because the Bible says that if any say they have not sinned, that they're a liar. God, there's sin in my life, and I'm confessing it to you, and I want to forsake it. I want to go away from it. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all of your many blessings. God, I want to thank you that you've told us how to be prosperous. So many times, our mind gets all whacked up in this world about what being prosperous is. We see the fine homes and the nice cars and the possessions and the financial gain. And sometimes we look at those things and we think that defines us as prosperous. Or we see that people are somebody, that they have a name that everybody recognizes and that everybody wants around. And we feel like that is prosperous. But God, you have told us what being prosperous is. And God, I pray that you will adjust my mind. I pray that you will adjust my heart to seek true prosperity in my life. And that is to walk a life that's in your will, never turning from the left or the right, to forsake my sin and to confess my sin. God, I want to thank you for this church. God, I want to thank you for the way that they love the Word of God. And God, I pray, dear Father, that this message, as it goes to our hearts, God, that you will help us to heed to it. And if there's changes that need to be made in our lives, God, that you will help us to allow you to make those changes in our lives. God, touch in so many situations, and you know the needs. In Jesus' name, amen.